Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And right now, I think I'm just going to read like verses 1 to 6. I'm actually heading for verse 18. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I don't know exactly how long it's going to take to get there. It just depends upon how much detail I want to play with on this. Because Acts chapter 15, there's a lot in this chapter. And it's good stuff. But I just want to read the first six verses today. Acts chapter 15, verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. Let's go stop right there. We might get that far, we might not. Because like I said, this is a busy chapter. The very first verse where it says certain men which came down from Judea. These were Jews. As the hint was given you in verse 5, they may have had something to do with the Pharisees. Now, whenever I read certain men, Walter, the first thing I think of is certain came from James. But it doesn't say that here. It does specify that in the other place, where Peter was withstood to the face by Paul because he was to be blamed. It did say certain came from James. Those fellows weren't saying anything about anybody being circumcised. They were just eating separately, and Peter went away with them, and so did Barnabas, and that was a whole other thing. Right. These certain came from Judea. They were not sent by James.
Right.
They were not sent by the apostles. They may have been sent by somebody who considered themselves an elder or was considered an elder, got nothing to do with it. These were not sent by James.
Right.
Luke is very careful not to name names here. He didn't use James's name because I don't think he was involved. He doesn't tell the other fellow's names because he didn't want to name them. Now, I believe this is Antioch where they showed up. And it says, these certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. So there was some teaching going on. Other teaching that evidently Luke didn't have a problem with. Not mentioned. But when you get to this one phrase, that's where the problem comes up. And it is a problem. They taught the brethren, believers, they were telling believers, Gentile believers, but believers nonetheless, they had to be circumcised after the manner of Moses. Okay. Or they cannot be saved. man hasn't changed a lick in 2,000 years. And Walter, the good old days weren't all that good sometimes. All you had was a different brand of works being taught. Now, this is the only part of their teaching that Luke recorded for us. Because this is where the rubber meets the road, right here. This is where everything hinges. As far as salvation is concerned, it's either works or it's grace.
Yeah.
Works and grace go together like spirit and flesh. They don't. They don't. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. I'll tell you, that which is works, and that which is grace is grace. And they were talking to the wrong people and talking to the wrong with the wrong guy there, Paul, if they thought they were going to get by with this. I got to thinking about this, you know, because at the end of this, the previous chapter, there's a whole lot of traveling going on. Paul and Barnabas had been making the rounds, and after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and they preached the word in Perga, and they went down to Attalia, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he'd opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. I mean, Paul had been everywhere. And now he's in Antioch. And I got to thinking, you know, Walter, it's, you know, Paul's in Antioch where God wanted him. When God wanted him there. Doing what God wanted him to do. He was teaching about the grace of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But they were in Antioch having a good time. They were listening to Jesus and hearing his works, his will, his way, listening to Barnabas preach. And bam, some guys show up. Unlooked for, unasked for, these people just show up. And that's the way it always seems to be. You don't have to, and you don't have to invite trouble. It will find you.
Right. Yeah.
It will find you.
Yeah.
I can pretty much guarantee that. I have a saying that I use with people in the world. They say, "Well, how are you doing?" I say, "Well, I'm trying to stay out of trouble." And they kind of laugh. Said, "Yeah, me too." And I say, "Yeah, but it's a lot harder than it sounds." Because it is. Trouble will find you. And if you preach the truth, error will seek you out. Heresy will attack you. People will say, "You're the liar," if you preach the truth of God. But here they are, minding their own business. These guys show up, and the next thing we know, there is a big grace versus works argument going on. Controversy has reared its head in our church. These guys say that we have to be circumcised or we can't be saved. Paul says we're saved by grace.
Right.
Through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. These certain come from Judea were saying grace is good, but you need a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how people try to slip in stuff. You just add a little bit. That's all it has to be to start with. And that's the way it usually starts out. A little leaven. Thank you, Mac. Leavens the whole lump.
Yeah.
Now, I can give you a representative sample of what Paul thought about mixing man's works with God's grace. It's in Romans chapter 11.
Yeah.
Now, this is speaking of election. Or in, as Young's literal translation has it, the choice of grace. And I like that. The choices of grace. Paul is talking about how there were a people which God foreknew. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. That's verse 2. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God to unto him? I have reserved unto to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. As I said, he's speaking of the election here. But here's the definition of grace and works, or the contrast. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no work. Grace and man's work are not compatible. How's that for a word? They are contrary, if you want the truth about it. They are exact polar opposites. And Paul says, if it's by grace, it is no more of works. Yeah. And for by grace are ye saved. Okay, not by works. For not by works are ye saved. You're saved by grace. So, I have nothing against, right now in this day, I have nothing against circumcision. I got nothing for it either, but I got nothing against it. Other than possibly in a sanitary sense. But right here, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. I got a problem with that. Amen. And so did Paul the Apostle, and Barnabas, and some others. Because anytime you start adding anything to the grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ, you are denigrating the work he performed.
Amen. That's right.
You're saying his work was not enough. And that is dead wrong. That is dead wrong. That's the problem I have with that fellow with that letter, Paul. If you believe that other people who believe somebody can be saved in an Armenian church, you're lost. You're not saved. No. If Jesus Christ knows me and called me by my name, I'm saved.
Right.
And I'm not trying to put it off there. It doesn't matter what I do.
Right.
Because it's what he did that counts as far as whether or not I can be saved.
Yeah.
Now, there's lots of things I may do because he has saved me. That's a whole other part of that verse. He has ordained that we should walk in good works, but not in order to get salvation. There are no works to be done. It's part of what I was talking about last couple of weeks, regeneration, the new birth. It is of God. We are born from above. We are born of God alone. And circumcision doesn't avail anything. Neither does uncircumcision. It doesn't avail anything. The only one who avails of anything is Jesus Christ. But that's the way Paul feels about grace. That's the way he feels about man's works. They have nothing to do with election. They have nothing to do with salvation. Man's works have nothing to do with preservation or any other thing concerned with or the result of the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation is of the Lord. Period. It is not of the Lord and a little bit from man. It is not of the Lord and a little bit from the preacher and the man. It is not anything else other than of the Lord. Salvation is of God. Man's work is not wanted. And it's not needed. And it's not of any value to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our best deeds are filthy rags in his sight. They might be pretty good in man's sight. You know? They might be pretty good in man's sight, some deeds. And some deeds are. I'm impressed by what some people do. Mainly it comes from the fact that I'm not doing that. And I'm not going to do that. I'm just, you know, sometimes not built for charity work. I'm not inclined toward charity work. I have my own charity, which is me. And I have enough time keeping my own head above water, much less anybody else. So, anything, and I don't know that I can stress this enough, anything that anyone adds or tries to add, put it that way, to something you have to do in order to be saved is called works. And it's wrong. These guys were Jews. They knew the law. And they said people had to be circumcised. This was their sticking point. We'll come back to it again. In verse 5. But this right here in Antioch was enough to start what is called a melee. A brouhaha. A big fight. Because this being said, and that unless you're circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. That being said, and that being a lie, Paul and Barnabas waded in. Right then and right there. I do love this. Luke is a master of understatement. Verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, it was determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question. Walter, purely as an aside, I would have really liked to see this argument. Because I am not afraid of an argument. As a matter of fact, if I can't be in one, I'll start one with somebody else sometimes. I mean, they're serious. I'm serious. There is a mean streak in me. And I am well aware of it, but that doesn't stop me from being me. And it comes out at times. Now, I'm serious. You may not believe me, but I'm telling the truth. Debbie will tell you. I don't mind causing a good argument. But I would have liked to have been there and heard and understood Paul and Barnabas disputing with these guys from Judea. Because I'm betting you it was on. I mean, we got Luke's account. I think, to be honest, I think Paul, when he's wound up, is probably, for me, okay, a thing of beauty, because I like a good argument. But we got Luke's account here. He says there was a dissension, and it wasn't small. That's the part I understand. There's a dissension, and it wasn't small. Now, Paul withstood Peter to the face, I believe it was later, okay, because he was to be blamed for separating himself just from not eating with the Gentiles. Just imagine how it was when somebody showed up and said, you had to work for your salvation, to Paul the Apostle. The man who said, if it's grace, it ain't works. And if it's works, it ain't grace. The word translated here, where is it? I thought I wrote that down somewhere. The word translated dissension means controversy, uprising, insurrection, or uproar. I believe in this case it was all of the above. But I like the word insurrection, because these fellas come down and wanting to slap the law on somebody. And no, we are going to rebel against you putting anything on us that God didn't put on us. Jesus Christ redeemed his people. His salvation is his, not his and mine. But there's an insurrection, and I believe there was an uproar. And then disputation. You can bet your bottom dollar there was a big argument here. They disputed these additions to the work of Jesus Christ for salvation.
Yeah.
For salvation. Paul wasn't disputing works. Wasn't against works, but works for salvation.
Right.
Yes. He did dispute that. Paul disputed any addition to the work of Jesus Christ for salvation.
Yeah.
And Paul disputed every addition to the work of Christ Jesus in salvation. Adding circumcision just because it was Jewish was not going to fly with the Apostle Paul. Adding anything was not going to fly. And the work of redemption is and was and is still complete.
Yeah.
And by complete, I mean there is no other work to be done.
Yeah.
Because he did it, and I believe he said it is finished. And I also believe he meant it. But I believe in this particular case, Paul was what was called fired up. Walter, like that when he was in Athens, he said, my spirit was stirred up in me. Paul was wide open at this time, because this was a dissension which was not small. I love that. I do. It was one big argument. And it wasn't settled here. Paul and Barnabas and certain others went to Jerusalem to speak unto the apostles and the elders about this question. Guess what? There's some more arguments to come. Now, I'm very pleased by the fact that Paul didn't just throw these fellas out. They took them with them to go back to settle this question. And see, where these people came from Judea, it doesn't say, like I said, it doesn't say they came from James. They were operating on let's put it this way, what it turns out to be an assumed authority. They were coming down from headquarters. Well, that's okay. Error can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
And does come from everywhere. They're not, you know, like I said, this ain't done by a long shot. But they're not. And I'm not saying that these certain people that came are lost. I am fully aware of how an upbringing will stay with you even when you don't want it to. For good or for bad. I didn't know, I'm not going to say his name, I know this one fellow who was saved, become a grace preacher. I've heard some of his messages, some of them I agree with, some of them not so much, but you can tell, A, by the way he speaks, B, by the way he preaches, and C, by the choice of words he uses even, that the man used to be Pentecostal. And I have nothing against that. I like a whole lot more people who used to be Pentecostal than who are Pentecostal. But I can see that. I can hear it in his message. I can hear it in his way he thinks. It's in there because it was in there for 30 or 40 years or 20 or 30 years, whatever the upbringing was. It's there. Now, myself, I was raised Catholic, but not very. I was raised, you know, in my head, more a-religious than religious. Basically irreligious is a better word. That was just something I did on Sunday because Mom made me. And that was it. That was my whole extent of my religious upbringing. Other people have a different religious upbringing. These Jews were born and raised with the law. That's all they knew. And circumcision used to be commanded. It was commanded. It's not like they're making up anything. They're just applying it where it doesn't apply anymore. And there's a reason for that, and it's going to go into it. So I'm not saying these fellows were all, they may have been very well saved, and they may have been converted and happy with this argument because I don't ever see them bothering Paul again. But I just want to say that because normally I do have my own conclusions I will jump to when somebody talks to me and tries to add works to grace. I jump to my own conclusions all by myself. I don't need any help. But I'll talk to them. And maybe it'll do some good. Because that which is grace is grace. And I don't give it. I don't apply it. I don't persuade anyone other than what the Spirit of God teaches you. All I can do is try and tell the truth the best I can.
Yeah.
That's all I can do. But there are no works from man in the salvation of the soul.
Yeah.
Period. That's all. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this day, this time. But most of all, Lord, we're thankful for you who gave your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and sent him to be the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the providing of it, the giving of it, and the receiving of it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.